KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, we have partly to mostly cloudy skies and 66 degrees. Actually, it's 63 right now, last check. Good afternoon. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Our forecast for today is calling for partly cloudy skies, a slight chance of isolated showers, and a high near 90. Well, in the news this morning, Governor Kim Reynolds on Friday signed a new proclamation continuing the public health disaster emergency for another 30 days. The proclamation extends public health mitigation measures currently in place for businesses and other establishments. That includes requirements for bars and restaurants to ensure 6 feet of physical distance between each group or individual dining or drinking, to ensure all patrons have a seat at a table or a bar, and to limit congregating together closer than 6 feet. Requirements for social distancing, hygiene, and other public health measures to reduce the risk of transmission also remain in place for gyms, casinos, salons, theaters, and other establishments. As Governor Reynolds announced on Thursday, the proclamation also authorizes school districts with buildings damaged by the derecho natural disaster to offer instruction by primarily remote learning with the approval of the Department of Education. And those that are unable to conduct even primary remote learning because of the derecho may apply for a waiver of instructional time from the department. In addition, the proclamation suspends certain fees for the replacement of official records by county recorders or the state registrar of vital statistics for records lost, destroyed, or damaged by the derecho natural disaster. The proclamation also extends many of the previously issued regulatory relief measures necessary to respond to the public health disaster, including those related to health care, professional licensure, educational workforce, and the expiration of driver's licenses. The proclamation is now in effect until 11:59 p.m. Sunday, September 20th. Here's the latest information from the state's coronavirus website, or the COVID-19 dashboard, if you will. The IDPH says there was one more positive COVID-19 case here in Cass County for a total of 103, and 9 more people have recovered from the virus for a total of 88. There were 2 more cases reported in Audubon County for a total of 32. Montgomery County has 2 more cases with a total of 68. Guthrie and Shelby counties each have 1 new positive COVID-19 case for a total of 156 in Guthrie and 205 in Shelby. Statewide, there have been an additional 798 new positive test results as of this morning for a total of 55,331 and 4,548 new negative test results for a total of 520,607 and a positivity rate of 9.4%. It was 9.3% yesterday. Officials say a total of 589,439 Iowans have been tested so far. There have been also 13 more deaths since Friday's 10 a.m. report for a total of 1,030. The IDPH reports of those who died, 725 had a pre-existing medical condition. 551 of the deaths occurred at long-term care facilities. Recoveries from the virus amount to 43,349 to date. There are currently 268 COVID-19 patients hospitalized across the state. That's 25 less than Friday. IDPH's 79 patients are in intensive care. There were 33 people admitted to hospitals across the state and 34 patients on a ventilator. In western and southwest Iowa, 11 people are hospitalized, 6 are in an ICU. There were no new admissions since yesterday, and no one was listed as being on a ventilator. The coronavirus cases are in 35 of Iowa's long-term care facilities. 1,049 positive cases and 623 recoveries of staff and patients at those facilities. And you can read more about surrounding counties, their caseload, as far as positive cases of COVID-19, recoveries, and deaths associated, if any, in the same story on our news page at KJAN.com. Well, Iowa says its largest school district cannot begin the year with fully remote learning and must offer at least 50% in-person instruction, despite a worsening coronavirus pandemic. Des Moines Public Schools, which has 32,000 students and 5,000 employees, is blasting the decision by Governor Reynolds' administration to deny its request for a waiver to allow for 100% online learning. The district announced that it will file a lawsuit to challenge the state's order to reopen schools, a prospect that it says is simply unsafe as the virus spreads through Iowa. The looming legal shutdown creates more uncertainty around the upcoming school year. A September 3rd hearing has been scheduled in a lawsuit seeking to block Governor Reynolds' order that schools return to classroom learning during the pandemic. The Iowa State Education Association and the Iowa City Community School District are requesting a temporary injunction to block enforcement of the governor's mandate. If granted, that would mean school districts would have their own authority to decide whether to move to 100% remote learning and not face retaliation from the state if they do so. Reynolds has said that school districts, as we mentioned a moment ago, must provide at least 50% in-person instruction or face the consequences. Well, drought conditions continue to expand in Iowa, covering nearly 88% of the state. State climatologist Justin Glisson said rainfall in western Iowa over the last 6 months is as much as a foot below normal, and in Iowa's extreme drought region, last week's derecho dropped between only 0.5 to 1 inch of rain.
So for a drought buster to really take hold, you would need measurable rainfall, you know, every 5 to 7 days for a few months to really start eating into those precipitation deficits.
The latest drought report was issued on Thursday, and it classifies new areas of southern Iowa as abnormally dry and parts of northeastern Iowa as moderately dry. Extreme drought conditions are reported in all or part of a dozen west central Iowa counties, including the cities of Carroll, Jefferson, and Audubon.
It's not looking like we're going to get measurable rainfall that we need over the next 7 days.
Glisson said there may be more chances for rain as summer ends, and storms tend to produce up to an inch of gentle rainfall over several hours. Until then, Glisson said the weather systems over Minnesota and Missouri could shift and produce rain over Iowa, and hurricane season could also have an impact.
Tropics are starting to heat up again. There's a possibility of 2 landfalls in the Gulf of Mexico. If those tropical systems do make inroads into the United States, we might be able to seed some moisture into the Midwest, making conditions more favorable for rainfall.
The U.S. Drought Monitor indicates areas of southwest and southeastern Iowa are not in the drought zone. You can go to the same story on the news and or weather page at KJAN.com to see the latest drought conditions map. And finally in the news this morning, the Enhanced Iowa Board on Friday awarded more than $3.7 million in Community Attraction and Tourism, or CAT, grants to projects in 12 Iowa communities. Among them were projects in Tabor, Winterset, Red Oak, and Woodbine. The Tabor Library Association received $186,877 for the total project cost of a $1.225 million project. That will include the construction of a 7,000-square-foot facility with library spaces for adults, teens, and children, community room spaces for programming and relaxation, a commercial kitchen, a maker space, an outdoor learning area, and ample parking. The Madison County Conservation Center in Winterset received a CAT grant of $450,000 for a $4.9 million project that includes the construction of a 12,400-square-foot facility with an events and seminar room, exhibit room, STEM classroom, boardroom, library, and administrative offices, and exterior improvements. Expand the Grand in Red Oak received a $150,000 CAT grant for phase two of their project, which includes the renovation of an adjacent building to accommodate an additional movie screen and seats, as well as an expanded concession area. And the Woodbine Regional Wellness Center in Woodbine was awarded a $450,000 CAT grant for their project that includes the construction of a two-level, 7,680-square-foot building to house interpretive displays, conservation and wildlife studies, wildlife exhibits, and cultural history, to name a few. There's also an outdoor amphitheater. That total project cost was estimated to be more than $6.8 million. You can read more about those grants in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning, Bob Henkelman, age 78, of Manning, died March 21st at his home. Memorial services for Bob Henkelman will be today at 10 o'clock at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has the arrangements. Ralph Akers, age 65, of Murray and formerly of Anita, died Monday. Funeral services for Ralph Earl Akers will be today at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Anita. Arden Leroy Grieshopper, age 71, of Cumberland, died April 7th at the UNMC in Omaha. A celebration of life for Arden Leroy Grieshopper will be today at 10:30 at St. Timothy's Catholic Church in Cumberland. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has the arrangements. Jason Julesgaard, age 56, of Galt and formerly of Kimbleton, died May 2nd in Iowa City. A graveside celebration of life service for Jason Julesgaard will be today at 11:30 in the Kimbleton Cemetery, and that'll be followed by a luncheon at the Kimbleton Town Hall. A.J. Big Country C. Jr., age 20, of Avoca, died August 13th. A memorial service for A.J. C. Jr. will be held today at 1 o'clock at the AHSTW football field in Avoca. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Roger Frank Ewert, age 78, of Harlan, died August the 3rd. A memorial service for Roger Ewert will be today at 3 o'clock at the Congregational United Church of Christ in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Ron Lee Wasson, age 75, of Linden, died Monday at his home. A celebration of life gathering for Ron Wasson will be today from 4 until 8 p.m. at the Linden Community Building. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Milton Berry, age 87, of Harlan, died Thursday at the Manila Manor. Funeral services for Milton Berry will be on Monday at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Irwin. Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has the arrangements. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.